The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts, Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
بِاللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا الْمَبْعُوثِ رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ وَالتَّابِعِينَ وَالتَّابِعِينَ لَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ وَهُدًى إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ اللَّهُمَّ فَقِّهْنَا فِي الدِّينِ وَعَلِّمْنَا التَّأْوِيلَ وَأَلْهِمْنَا رُشْدَنَا Ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah. In our sessions on the daily Rawha, in which we're looking at hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and guidance for seekers of knowledge, we, alhamdulillah, have completed the first collection of 40 hadiths, which were hadiths of the type of hadith known as the hadith Qudsi. And we've moved to the second collection of the collections of Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabhani, who gathered this really amazing book, and it's strangely neglected, which is 40 sets of 40 hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ. So each collection of 40 hadiths is topical. And the hadiths in the second collection are 40 hadiths in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the praise is both direct praising of Allah and hadiths that highlight the qualities of Allah. And at the heart of it, as you will have seen when we looked at the hadith Qudsi, and these hadiths in praise of Allah, is the highlighting of divine mercy. Right? The highlighting of divine mercy. Because this is the basis of Allah's dealing with His creation. This is firstly the basis of Allah's dealing with creation. And given that the human being is given to forget, we forget Allah's mercy. Right? We forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. So these hadiths emphasize that. And they highlight many other names and qualities of the divine. So in hadith number 16, which is where we've reached in the second collection, عن وثلة بن الأسقع رضي الله تعالى عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال. So وثلة بن الأسقع relates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يبعث الله يوم القيامة عبدا لا ذنب له. Allah will resurrect on the day of resurrection, a servant who has committed no sin. فَيَقُولُ بِأَيِّ الْأَمْرَيْنِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكَ أَنْ أُجْزِيَكَ بِعَمَلِكَ أَوْ بِنِعْمَتِي. And Allah will ask this servant, of which of the two matters would you be more pleased? Would you be more pleased that I reward you by? By your actions or by my blessings? وَرَحْمَتِي, and by my mercy. قَالَ رَبِّي إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ أَنِّي لَمْ أَعْصِكَ. So the servant says, O Lord, you know that I did not disobey you. قَالَ خُذُوا عَبْدِي بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّن نِعَمِي فَمَا تَبْقَى حَسَنَةٌ إِلَّا اسْتَغْرَقَتْهَا تِلْكَ النِّعْمَةِ. So Allah will say, meaning to His angels, take my servant to account for a single blessing of my blessings. So no good deed remains except that it has been taken, encompassed by that one single blessing. By that one single blessing. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي بِنِعْمَتِكَ وَرَحْمَتِكَ. So then the servant will say, by your blessing and by your mercy. فَيَقُولُ بِنِعْمَتِي وَرَحْمَتِي. So Allah Most High will say, by your blessing and by your mercy. And this is related by Imam al-Tabarani. And this meaning was affirmed before as well. And it highlights the importance of this meaning, but it also serves as an important spiritual reminder that one of the dangers that affect the servant when they do good is that they ascribe the good to themselves. And they see themselves as the doer of the good. What is the protection for this? The protection for this is what our beloved Messenger ﷺ said, مَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. Whoever finds the good, let them praise Allah. Why? Because Alhamdulillah, all praise is Allah's. He himself is deserving of all praise, and anything that would be praiseworthy in creation, who created it? Allah. I remember when I was still finishing university, we had the first Deen intensive in Canada, and one of the scholars who was visiting for that Deen intensive, we are at Sheikh Talal's house, and I was really confused about activism and, you know, having concern for spirituality. So I was thinking, you know what, maybe I should just forget about activism right now. It's dangerous, right? Because if you're, you know, if you're active and you're in the limelight and have attention, like, that could affect your sincerity and could affect. So I asked the Sheikh that, I was thinking, you know, I was reflecting on what you mentioned about the importance in our religion of taking care of your heart and your state with Allah. So I was thinking that, and I'm active in the community and on campus, that maybe I should step away from that to focus on the heart. The Sheikh looked at me incredulously. And he just said, only a fool would take pride in the actions of another. Only a fool would take pride in the actions of another. And the reality is, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah has created you and all that you do. And this is called توحيد الأفعال, the oneness of actions. And it's part of توحيد. And when we say that Allah is one, what does it mean? Allah's وحدانية, His oneness, which is the very essence of our iman, is the oneness of Allah, is نفي التعدد في ذاته وصفاته وأفعاله, is to negate multiplicity in Allah with respect to Allah's entity. There's no one shares in divinity and his attributes. None has attributes like the attributes of Allah. And in his actions, لا خالق إلا الله. Allah's action is, what is the divine act? Creating. We have actions, small a, but that our actions are our choices. Our actions are simply our directing our limitary, originated, contingent choices. But we have choice, but Allah creates. So while we affirm choice, and we are responsible thereby and are rewarded, but we must behold that the sole actor is Allah. So the cure for this is to carefully guard one's iman, right? And there's shirk fil amal. Right? There's a lesser association of partnership in your actions, which is to see the action from yourself. Someone came to say the Rabi' al-Adawiyya, and she was really cool, and she liked to shock people. So this one righteous, you know, one man who was considered righteous, he came up to her, right? And people would go seek her spiritual counsel and guidance, and said, "Inni lam a'asi Allah qat 40 sana." This man said, I did not disobey Allah for 40 years. So she said to him, وُجُودُكَ ذَنْبٌ لَا يُسَاوِيهِ ذَنْبٌ. Your existence is a sin to which no sin compares. وُجُودُكَ ذَنْبٌ لَا يُسَاوِيهِ ذَنْبٌ. Your existence is a sin that no sin compares to. Meaning that your sense of self-existence, I, like your sense of independence from Allah, is a sin that no sin compares. Because Allah is sustaining you at every moment. Your sense of you having praiseworthy qualities yourself is a sin that no sin compares to. I know, I can, I this, I that. Okay? Nothing compares to Allah. So when you have this sense of self or sense of the your attributes, I am this, you're nothing. The one worthy of praise is Allah in Himself, in His attributes, and then your sense, wujuduka, fi dhatika wa sifatika wa af'alik, and in your actions. I did this. I did not disobey Allah. You ascribe the action to yourself, rather than seeing it from Allah. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. It is Allah who created the good inspirations. It is Allah who created the facilitation. It is Allah who protected you from sin. It is Allah who preserved you. Qul kullu min indillah. It is all from Allah. Right? So this was her, that your wujuduka dhanbun la yisawihi dhanb. Your existence, your sense that I am mine, my attributes are mine, my actions are mine, is the greatest sin. Because it is shirkun khafi. It is a lesser association of partners with Allah. The whole spiritual path is al-wusulu ila tawheed al-khalis. The whole spiritual path in its essence is attaining pure tawheed. Pure tawheed, which is the tawheed of Iman, right? And the tawheed that it is all from Allah, and to behold that reality. And this is what preserves. We look at the next hadith as well, hadith number 17. An Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal. So Sayyid Anas relates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he said, يخرج لابن آدم يوم القيامة ثلاث يخرج لابن آدم يوم القيامة ثلاثة دواوين. Three sets of scrolls will be brought forth for the child of Adam, for the human being. ديوان فيه عمله الصالح وديوان فيه ذنوبه وديوان فيه النعم من الله تعالى عليه. One set of scrolls, and diwan is a beautiful term, and I'd encourage you to look it up. Diwan is دَوَّنَا يُدَوِّنُ دِوَانًا. دَوَّنَا is that which is gathered. Which is why one of the names for writing is tadween, because you gather thoughts. Right? And a collection of poetry is called diwanu shi'r, because it's collected, it's gathered. Right? Scrolls, especially when they're gathered, are called diwan, because they were, you know, a scroll would be written upon and it would be gathered. It'd be gathered because it'd be tied together. Right? So diwan. But that's why also the sitting area for guests would also be called diwan. Why? Because that's where the guests gather. You know, that's where the assembly happens. Right? That's why, where people assemble. Right? And in some Arab societies, they refer to, you know, different types, you know, the parliament or the ministers with this term as well, because it is where people assemble. It has this meaning of gathering. It's a beautiful term. So there's three sets of dawaween, three sets of scrolls. A set of scrolls that have their righteous deeds, and a set of scrolls that have their sins, and a set of scrolls in which Allah's blessings upon them are inscribed. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لِأَصْغَرِ نِعْمَةٍ أَحْسَبَهُ قَالَ فِي دِوَانِ النِّعَمِ خُذِي ثَمَنَكِ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ الصَّالِحِ فَتَسْتَوْعِبُ عَمَلَهُ الصَّالِحِ ثُمَّ تَنَحَّى وتقول وعزتك ما استوفيت وتبقى الذنوب والنعم وقد ذهب العمل الصالح. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the least of blessings that the person considered, the least thing that they considered a blessing, something they overlooked, in their record of the blessings of Allah upon them, that take your price. So Allah will address the littlest blessing that they consider. Take your price from their righteous actions. And that the littlest of considered blessings will encompass all their righteous deeds. Then Allah will direct himself. And then the blessing will say, by your majesty, I have not taken my fill. That despite taking all the good deeds, I haven't taken my fill yet. And yet the sins remain, and the rest of the blessings remain. وَقَدْ ذَهَبَ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ And all the righteous deeds have gone in the least blessing. فَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنْ يَرْحَمَ عَبْدًا قَالَ يَا عَبْدِي قَدْ ضَعَفْتُ لَكَ حَسَنَاتِ وتجاوزت عن سيئاتك أحسبه وإحسبه قال ووهبت لك نعمتي رواه البزار. So if Allah wishes to be merciful to his servant, Allah says to his servant, I have multiplied for you your good deeds and have overlooked your ill deeds. Now, judge him. And I have gifted you my blessings, meaning I will not take you to account for your blessings, for the blessings, for my blessings upon you. Rahul Bazar. But the key to that is to behold the blessings, to have gratitude for the blessings, and to always look at the mercy of Allah upon you, to not have an inflated sense of self, not to have an inflated sense of self, to have humility. Right? So two key qualities are gratitude and humility. Gratitude for the blessings of Allah, magnifying those blessings, and to be humble, not to arrogate oneself with respect to sense of self or sense of one's attributes. I am such and such. Neither I, nor I am, nor I do. And the key to that is dhikrullah, is to remember Allah. Because if you don't remember Allah, you'll be remembering yourself and your qualities and your attributes, or you're remembering his creation. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for humility and gratitude, and that we turn to Allah in neediness and seeking mercy. The next hadith is about who is the last of the people of the paradise and who is the last of the people of hell. And we'll look at that, which is hadith number 18, next session. Briefly today, we'll continue our look at the chapter in Imam Zarnuji's work, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim, Instructing the Student on the Ways of Learning, which is a تعليم المتعلم, which is a wonderful work by this great scholar Imam Burhan al-Din al-Zarnuji. And alhamdulillah, recently they have published Sheikh Rami Ansur, the founder and director of the wonderful Taiba Foundation, which has an amazing prison education program, and a foundation that encourage each of you to become a monthly donor for. If you hear this and you care about, you know, those in difficulty and distress, the Taiba Foundation provides religious education for incarcerated Muslims. And there are people who've gone through their educational system and become scholars, that they got hired as imams in their community before they're let out of prison. So as soon as they left, they went from prison to being imam. That's the kind of impact. You go type Taiba, T-A-Y-B-A Foundation, you'll see the information on that. And do such projects, we should definitely support, even if it's with a little each month, because nothing that's little, nothing that is small and consistent is ever little. Right? And we should be supporting all such projects. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless and facilitate for them, and for particularly for the efforts of Sheikh Rami himself. Sheikh Rami Ansur has recently published a very capable and accurate translation of Imam Zarnuji's work, Ta'lim al-Mut'allim, and it's available through Amazon and other. You can see the information there if you type. You should be able to find it, bismillah ta'ala. And we'll include a link to it in the notes to this lesson. So the chapter we're looking at, after looking in the previous chapter at intention in seeking knowledge, this chapter is on the choice of knowledge and teacher and companions, and being firm, remaining firm on the path of knowledge. So with respect to knowledge, that one prioritize what's most important and most needed. And he went into the details related to that, and we looked at that. But also, part of what's most important is to build your understanding of religion on the basis of established knowledge. Don't just know contemporary affairs and issues of controversy and so on, but to focus on building al-atiq, the well-established, right? And then everything else will be clear. And he warned against falling into disputation. And he mentioned the example of Imam Abu Hanifa. In how he chose the teacher that he chose, Hammad. Right? And then he began by looking at the advice of one of the people of wisdom, one of the wise scholars of Samarkand, to whom a student went, who was planning on moving to Bukhara. And he mentioned that this sunnah of consultation is very important. And it's one of the most difficult things for people in our times, because we're all have the sense of, we want to be independent. We have an inflated sense of self. I can do it. I'll figure it out. I this. And we bring misery into our lives by doing that. And we should embrace the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay? Which is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from the very beginning of his message till his death, always consulted. Even his final public decision, just whom to appoint to lead prayer, and his consulting was such that he was open to opposition in it. When he appointed Sayyidina Abu Bakr to lead the prayer, the daughter of Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wa anha, Sayyidina Aisha, she said, why would you appoint him to lead? With love, and that's her own father, and she loved him dearly. That's because he's too soft-hearted. He'll break down crying. But he consulted and was open to consultation. He listened. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all the major stages of his life, he consulted Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? So not consulting is a bid'ah. And what does the bid'ah do? It turns one away from the sunnah. And what is the sunnah? The sunnah is presence with Allah. It's closeness to Allah. It's to be pleasing to Allah. Right? And to emphasize that this is the sunnah of the Prophet, we stopped at the words of Sayyidina Ali, karamallahu ta'ala wajha. He said, قَالَ عَلِيٌّ كَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَ أَهْلَكَ مَا هَلَكَ مُرُؤٌ عَنْ مَشُورَ. That no one was ever destroyed by consultation. But consultation is, the consultation has a basis and a purpose, and the one who is consulted. Okay. The basis of consulting is that you are seeking to make the choice that will be most pleasing to Allah. That is the basis of consulting. What is your purpose in it? So the basis of it, the motive in it, is I want to make the choice that is most pleasing to Allah. That's the motive. Whom do you consult? Someone you're reasonably sure will be able to assist you in making the choice that will be most pleasing to Allah. And when they advise you, you ask yourself, right? Is this choice, does this choice appear to be most pleasing to Allah? Right? So there you could look at one way of looking at consultation. Sound consultation, sound sunnah consultation. It has what moves you to consultation. I want to make the choice that is most pleasing to Allah. And you realize that there's people who know more. So to help you make the best choice, you consult those who know. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. Ask the people of remembrance if you know not. So then you choose whom you consult. Who will help me make the best decision in this matter? To what end? To the choice that will be more pleasing to Allah. And then upon their consultation, it's important to keep in mind, how do you judge? That's why the Prophet said, Istafti qalbak, seek an answer from your heart. وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسُ أَفْتَوكَ. Even if people give you answer after answer. What is the heart? The heart is the capacity within you that turns to the pleasure of Allah. Will this be pleasing to Allah? So someone gives you bad advice. Do you have to listen? Someone tells you something that you feel that this would not appear to be the most pleasing choice. Right? So consultation, the consultation that Sayyidina Ali is talking about is sound, purposeful consultation. That has a sound motive, has a sound goal, and you seek the right person for that consultation. And then once you consult them, you consider, because you're the one making the choice. Right? So it's not disempowering. Consultation is empowering. That's why Sayyidina Ali said, no person was destroyed by consultation, right? By sound consultation. وَقِيلَ النَّاسُ رَجُلٌ وَنِصْفُ رَجُلٍ وَلَا شَيْءٍ. عَفْوًا. Okay? That people are of three types. A complete person, and half a person, and nothing. So there's three types of people. A complete person, half a person, and a no person. فَالرَّجُلْ مَنْ لَهُ رَأْيٌ صَائِبٌ. So a complete person is the one who has sound judgment and who consults. They have sound judgment, they have sound consideration. How do you have sound consideration? You've acquired the knowledge you need to make sound consultation. To sound consideration. You have knowledge and you act and you judge on the basis of knowledge. That's and one consults. And they consult. So a complete person is the one who has sound judgment, okay, which requires knowledge and applying that knowledge, and who consults. وَنِصْفُ رَجُلٍ مَنْ لَهُ رَأْيٌ صَائِبٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا يُشَاوِرُ أَوْ يُشَاوِرُ لَكِنْ لَا رَأْيَ لَهُ. And half a person is either someone who has sound judgment themselves, but they don't consult. Because you only know so much. And your judgment could be clouded by your own desires, your own whims, or by your misperception. You didn't take everything into account. Or by your lack of experience. So you have half a person, either someone who has sound opinion, but they don't consult, or someone who consults, but they don't have sound judgment. And part of lacking sound judgment, you consult the wrong people. And a lot of people, for example, when they study, they decide, they base their decision on whom to study with what other students say. Oh, mashallah, Sheikh so-and-so, have you seen his statuses on Facebook? Mashallah, he's just bursting with knowledge. But in reality, the person's showing off. We have people who are very learned. Like, for example, someone I always admire. I've actually been asked by, you know, over-anxious students, Imam Zaid, did he really study? I said, why do you ask that? I said, because he never mentions his teachers. Yeah, because he's humble. He studied with giants. But he's humble. And he focuses on what will benefit people. So he does. He's not always bursting out references here and there. Why? Because he focuses on benefiting people. Right? So, but a short-sighted person could say, oh, look, Imam Zayd is not quoting loads of sources. And so on and so forth, quoting all kinds of stuff. But, right? So that's one of the errors, is to in consulting, but without judgment, is you consult those not worthy of consultation. You ask a person who's busy with worldliness about a life decision while you're seeking the akhirah as your goal, then you're a fool. You ask someone, should I dedicate myself to study or should I pursue a career? Someone who's a person of dunya will tell, of course, dunya is real to them. The akhirah is something that will come after death. And then there's the nobody. And who's the nobody? وَلَا شَيْءَ مَنْ لَا رَأْيَ لَهُ وَلَا يَشَاءُ. It's the person who does not have sound judgment, because they don't learn how to seek the benefit of this life and the benefit of the next, or they don't judge on the basis of it. There's many people like that. They acquire knowledge, but they don't think on the basis of knowledge. So if you ask them, for example, what is the adab, what is the ruling of talking about the haram, they'll talk about it. They'll tell you what it is. But they'll talk about the haram. Why? Because when they make their choices, they don't judge on that basis. You ask some brother, what is the ruling of uncovering your awrah? They'll say it's haram. So what is your awrah? They'll tell you. But in judging what they wear, they don't take care of that. That's a fool. And that's someone who doesn't have sound judgment. Because you may have knowledge, but if you're not making your choices on basis of the knowledge, you have unsound judgment. And that's the person who, in the Sharia, is considered to be a fool. Either a fool who doesn't know, or who knows, but doesn't judge on the basis of their knowledge. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. What's with you, and how do you judge? And then he says, قَالَ جَعْفَرٌ الصَّادِقُ رَضِي اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, who was of the imams of the prophetic household, the fifth descendant from Sayyidina Fatima and Sayyidina Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه, one of the great imams of Islam, one of the teachers of Imam Abu Hanifa and others, he said to Sufyan al-Thawri, قَالَ لِسُفْيَان الثَّوْرِ رَضِي اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ, one of the great mujtahid imams, شاور في أمرك الذين يخشون الله تعالى. So Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said to Sufyan al-Thawri, consult regarding your affairs those who have khashiyah of Allah, those who have reverent awe of Allah. Because what is fruitful knowledge? fruitful knowledge is the knowledge that bequeaths khashya, awe of Allah. And this applies above all to religious knowledge, but also in the big choices of life. Any choice that has religious implications, directly or indirectly, consult people of khashya. And we make a lot of day-to-day choices in which we fail to consult those who have understanding. We go and we choose a house, but we don't consider how does this affect me in my deen. Right? Where someone who has awe of Allah, that awe infuses their mundane choices. How do I set up my house? Set it up in a way that's conducive to Allah. How do you know? There are people who know. So choose those kinds of people to consult. Because someone who is in awe of Allah would prioritize what is pleasing to Allah. So this is the interlude on the importance of consulting. Now he goes back to the advice. And he's coming back to the advice of the Hakim. So Imam Zarnuji says, a student asked a wise man from Samarkand about what to do when he goes to Bukhara, and he wanted to seek knowledge in Bukhara. So Imam Zarnuji says, وَطَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ أَعْلَى الْأُمُورِ. Seeking knowledge is of the highest of matters. وَأَصْعَبِهَا, and of the most difficult of matters. فَكَانَتِ الْمُشَاوَرَةُ فِيهِ أَهَمَّ وَأَوْجَبُ. So therefore, consulting in it is even more important and even more incumbent than in anything else. قال الحكيم إذا ذهبت إلى بخارى لا تعجل في الاختلاف إلى الأئمة وامكث شهرين حتى تتأمل وتختار أستاذا. So this wise man from Samarkand, this wise scholar from Samarkand, said to the student who was going to Bukhara to study with the scholars of Bukhara. And both Samarkand and Bukhara were the two great centers of learning. That's why Imam al-Bukhari is from Bukhara. Right? And Samarkand was a place of great, great scholarship. He said, when you go to Bukhara, don't be hasty in going to imams, going to teachers. Rather, going to them meaning in dedicating yourself to their classes. Don't commit to their classes immediately. Rather, remain for 2 months until you reflect and carefully choose a teacher. And carefully choose a teacher. فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا ذَهَبْتَ إِلَى عَالِمٍ وَبَدَأْتَ بِالسَّبْقِ عِنْدَهُ رُبَّمَا لَا يُعْجِبُكَ دَرْسُهُ فَتَتْرُكَهُ وَتَذْهَبَ إِلَى آخَرٍ فَلَا يُبَارَكُ لَكَ فِي الْعِلْمِ فِي التَّعَلُّمِ. He said, because if you go to a teacher, if you go to a scholar, and you begin your sabq, which is your structured study with them, then maybe you don't like their lessons. Some temperaments differ. You find them too detailed, you find them too complicated, you find it too simple, you find them too demanding. They have expectations that you don't think you can fulfill. They don't like you, which is very possible. So maybe you don't like their lessons. So you leave it. And then you go to another teacher. And this way, you will not be blessed in your learning. Because the teacher is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the teacher is your point of connecting with the prophetic inheritance. They're an inheritor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you commit to a teacher that I'm studying with so-and-so, you stick with it. And what we've seen from the mashayikh is that someone starts with a teacher, you stick with it till the end, till you've completed that text or you've completed that stage of study. And you don't leave one teacher for another just for likes and dislikes. It's also to learn discipline. Because someone who is not patient will not attain. Okay? And we've seen case after case of your students who find, I asked, I started attending with Sheikh Hassan al-Hindi, and he kept canceling class. And I believe in the principle of conservation of energy, that don't expend any energy unless there's a clear reason to do so. Had to walk all the way up the hill, past his house, and then come down. You go to his house, a good 15-20 minute walk uphill, because the bus didn't go that steep. And then, sorry, the Sheikh's tired today. You go, first several months, Sheikh would, like, I'm reading the class, and he's making dhikr. Not really paying attention. But alhamdulillah, one of the things that was impressed on us right from the beginning is always consult. I wanted to quit the class. Like, what's going on? He's a good teacher, but it's not, right? Went to Sheikh Ashraf Munib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him. I said, Sidi, I need another teacher because I can't. Like every two or three classes, one class would be canceled. He would just be half-hearted about the class. Sometimes, Sheikh Ashraf said, stick with it. He says, and only if you show that you're serious, will they show that they're serious about the class. Alhamdulillah, I listened. And then we reached the stage some months down where we had to ask Sheikh Hassan, can we please stop here? Because he wanted to keep going. But alhamdulillah, we were taking the class seriously. He wanted to keep adding more things that we're studying. We had to say, Sidi, could we stop here? And sometimes he'd listen, and sometimes, no, we have to do it. Alhamdulillah, listen to it. The opposite, right, is a negation of Allah's blessing. Right? And if you negate Allah's blessing, right, فَمَنْ شَكَرَ النِّعْمَةَ فَقَدْ إِسْتَوْجَبَ الْمَزِيدِ. Right? Whoever is grateful for a blessing has become deserving of it being preserved and increased. And whoever fails to be grateful for a blessing, فَقَدْ تَعَرَّضَ لِزَوَالِهَا, they've made themselves susceptible to losing it completely. That's a very dangerous, and Allah is merciful. And we can make some mistakes. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ, Allah overlooks much, but it's not a good place to be. So the adab is, don't commit to something. Right? Consider first. Attend their general classes. Think about it. Consult. Only when you're sure should you begin. But if you begin something, stick to it till the end. Okay? That's a basic sunnah of life. لَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Do not invalidate your actions. Do not make your actions come to nothing. Never begin something except with the firm resolve that you're going to finish it. And once you've begun it, do not leave it till you've finished it. And that's the basis of accomplishing anything in life. Right? So this wise man said, فَتَأَمَّلْ شَهْرَيْنِ فِي اخْتِيَارِ الْأُسْتَاذِ. So he said, so reflect for 2 months in choosing the teacher. وَشَاوِرْ حَتَّى لَا تَحْتَاجَ إِلَى تَرْكِهِ. He said, and consult, so you don't need to leave them. وَلِعْرَاضِ عَنْهُ فَتَثْبُتَ عِنْدَهُ حَتَّى يَكُونَ تَعَلُّمُكَ مُبَارَكًا وَتَنْتَفِعَ بِعِلْمِكَ كَثِيرًا. Right? So that, and consult until you don't need to leave them. And you don't need to turn away from them. And so that you can be have thabat, you can remain firm with them until your seeking of knowledge is blessed. And what is barakah? Barakah is a subtle secret of increase. That two people may have the same amount of knowledge, but Allah places the subtle secret of increase in this and doesn't place it in this. Right? And a key to barakah is gratitude, it's humility. And those are two key qualities in learning. So that your learning is blessed and that you benefit greatly in your knowledge. Right? So he says, واعلم أن الصبر والثبات أصل كبير في جميع الأمور. It says, and know well that patience and resolve, الثبات, to remain firm, is a great foundation of all matters. The foundation for success in anything is patience, patient perseverance, and holding yourself up. ثبات. Stay with it. They say, من ثبت نبت. Right? لكنه عزيز. But it is rare. كما قيل, and we'll close with these lines of poetry, لكل شيء لكل إلى شأو العلا حركات ولكن عزيز في الرجال ثبات. He said, in all, there is to the high peaks turning. At all, turn to the high peak, to the lofty peaks. However, rare it is in people to have firm resolve. Right? So all, all move towards the high peaks. They have aspirations and hopes. I want to this. I seek this, etc. لكن عزيز في الرجال. But rare it is in people to have ثبات, to have firm resolve. What facilitates firm resolve? Consideration, consultation, company, okay? And consigning matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't make foolish choices. I don't feel like this. I this. I that. Right? Right? The أصل المفاسد النفس التي بين جنبيك. Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, أعدى أعدائك نفسك التي بين جنبيك. The worst of your enemies is that law, that self that is between your two sides. The I-ness within you. How do you avoid it? Consider. Consult. Keep the right company. And consign matters to Allah. Right? Consign matters to Allah. So that you decide on the basis of what will be more pleasing to Allah, not what you feel. Because what you feel is irrelevant. And then he expands this from, in how does, what does it mean to be brave? And what does it mean to have resolve, right? And he shares these beautiful lines of poetry ascribed to Sayyidina Ali about six qualities needed in the seeker of knowledge for them to be successful. And we'll look at those next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who gather the qualities of the people of knowledge, people who have khashiyah of Allah, who are pleasing to Allah, who are grateful to Allah, and who are granted closeness to Him. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabina Muhammad, habibi rabbil alameen wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.